Picture a woman receiving a positive mammogram. Her doctor's face grows serious. "We need to schedule a biopsy immediately," he says. She leaves the office convinced she has cancer, her mind racing through worst-case scenarios. But here's the shocking truth. Only 1 in 10 women with positive mammograms actually has breast cancer. And her doctor? He likely doesn't know this either. This isn't an isolated case of medical incompetence. When 160 gynecologists were asked to calculate the probability that a woman with a positive mammogram has cancer, given standard statistics, only 21% answered correctly. The rest vastly overestimated the risk, believing 8 or 9 out of 10 positive results meant cancer. These aren't poorly trained physicians. They're specialists who interpret these tests daily. The problem runs deeper than individual ignorance. We've built a society that demands risk literacy as urgently as reading and writing, yet we've never actually taught people how to understand uncertainty. We teach algebra, geometry, and calculus, the mathematics of certainty, while ignoring statistics and probability, the tools we actually need to navigate real life. The result? A world where smart people consistently make catastrophic decisions, not because they're irrational, but because they've been set up to fail. After September 11, 2001, Americans abandoned planes for cars seeking safety. This choice killed an estimated 1,600 people, 6 times more than died on the 4 hijacked planes. Interstate traffic surged 5% in 3 months, bringing fatal crashes with it. Terrorists strike twice, once with violence, then through our psychological reactions. Our brains handle ancestral risks brilliantly, but falter with dread risks, low-probability events where many die simultaneously. A plane crash terrifies us in ways distributed traffic deaths never will, though driving to the airport is deadlier than the flight. In Britain, a health committee warned that third-generation contraceptive pills increased thrombosis risk by 100%. Women stopped taking the pill en masse, resulting in 13,000 additional abortions the following year. The actual risk? 1 in 7,000 women. We desperately crave certainty in an uncertain world. A German survey found that while only 4% believed horoscopes were absolutely certain, 44% thought mammogram results were infallible. This blind faith destroys lives. AIDS counselors have communicated positive HIV test results as absolute certainty, leading misdiagnosed people to lose jobs, relationships, and in tragic cases, their lives. Nassim Taleb describes a turkey fed daily by a farmer for 1,000 days. Each feeding strengthens the turkey's statistical confidence that this pattern will continue indefinitely. Then Thanksgiving arrives. The problem wasn't bad math. It was assuming the turkey knew all possible risks when a crucial unknown existed outside its model. Wall Street made the same mistake. Before 2008, risk models showed housing prices rising steadily for decades. When Goldman Sachs reported 25 Sigma events occurring several days in a row, events so statistically improbable they should occur once every 100,000 years, it revealed their models fundamentally misunderstood reality. There's a crucial distinction between risk and uncertainty. Risk exists when you know all possible outcomes and their probabilities, like rolling dice. Uncertainty exists when you don't know what you don't know. Banks operate not in the calculable casino their models assume, but in an uncertain world where precise calculations become dangerous illusions. Captain Sullenberger's emergency landing demonstrates this perfectly. When his plane lost both engines, he didn't calculate angles and wind speeds. He used a simple pilot's rule. If the tower rises in your windshield, you won't make it back. This visual heuristic immediately told him they couldn't reach the runway. Harry Markowitz won a Nobel Prize for sophisticated portfolio optimization theory. Yet for his own retirement, he used a simple 1N rule: divide your money equally across all available funds. When researchers tested both methods across 7 investment scenarios, the simple approach performed better in 6 cases. Simple rules often outperform complex analysis in uncertain conditions. Medicine suffers from the SIC syndrome. self-defense, innumeracy, and conflicts of interest. Doctors practice defensive medicine, misunderstand health statistics, and face financial incentives that conflict with patient welfare, resulting in unnecessary surgeries, false diagnoses, and preventable deaths. A survey of 824 high-risk specialists found 93% practice defensive medicine, ordering unnecessary imaging, 59%, making unneeded referrals, 52%, prescribing unnecessary medications, 33%, and performing invasive procedures, 32%. They protect themselves from lawsuits by choosing second-best options easily justified in court. Most doctors can't interpret the tests they order. When diagnosing acute vestibular syndrome, a one-minute bedside exam called HINTS outperforms MRI scans. In 101 high-risk patients, MRI missed 8 of 76 strokes, while HINTS caught them all. Yet doctors prefer MRIs because complex technology feels more defensible than clinical judgment. Cancer screening reveals how statistical illiteracy harms patients. PSA testing shows no mortality reduction after 10 years, yet per 100 men screened, 20 are harmed. 18 endure false alarms and unnecessary biopsies. 2 suffer incontinence or impotence from unnecessary treatments. PSA discoverer Richard J. Ablin calls widespread screening a profit-driven public health disaster. Mammography reduces breast cancer deaths by 1 per 1,000 women, misrepresented as 20% risk reduction. Overall cancer mortality remains unchanged. About 21 per 1,000 women die from cancer regardless. The screening industry exploits statistical illiteracy through double-tonguing, reporting success in survival rates while comparing it to others' mortality rates, creating illusory progress. Evolution shaped our fears for the African savanna, not modern life. We fear rare dangers like shark attacks while ignoring common risks like car crashes. Not because we're irrational, but because when errors have been historically deadly, we rely on social learning about what to fear rather than personal experience. The amygdala sends more information to the cortex than it receives, meaning fear influences thinking more easily than thinking can control fear. We learn what to fear through social imitation, an unconscious principle that protects us when personal experience might be lethal. This explains why Germans see wax candles on Christmas trees as beautiful, while Americans imagine fire hazards, though actual risk is minimal. Food anxieties spread through social transmission. Europeans enjoy raw milk cheeses, while North Americans prefer pasteurization. Yet with genetically modified foods, Europeans become risk-averse, while Americans consume them without concern. Humans have evolved biological preparedness for certain fears, a combination of nature and nurture where the object of fear is genetically prepared but requires social input to activate. This explains why children fear snakes and spiders, even where poisonous varieties no longer exist. The best explanation for increasing youth anxiety lies in the shift from internal to external life goals. Since World War II, young people increasingly prioritize being well off financially over developing a meaningful philosophy of life. Executives rely on gut feelings for roughly 50% of major decisions, up to 76% among top managers. These intuitions aren't random, but unconscious intelligence built through experience. Yet intuitive decisions remain taboo in corporate culture. Executives hide their process by fabricating post-hoc justifications or practicing defensive decision-making, choosing second-best options that are easily justified. This defensive approach protects individuals at the company's expense. Family businesses differ. They cultivate cultures where gut feelings are accepted, errors discussed openly, and long-term planning trumps short-term gains. Their goal is developing the company for future generations, not maximizing immediate profits. Good leadership means having diverse rules of thumb and knowing when to apply them. Ray Stata of Analog Devices exemplifies this with people-focused rules like first listen, then speak, and strategy rules like innovation drives success. Across 20 studies, simple rules consistently outperformed complex strategies in predicting uncertain futures. Complex models only excel at explaining the known past. Simple approaches make better predictions because complex strategies get distracted by irrelevant details. As Einstein said, make everything as simple as possible, but not simpler.
When 10-year-old Tilly Smith recognized tsunami warning signs from geography class, she saved lives in Thailand. Technology fails when people don't understand risks. We need risk-literate citizens, not paternalistic nudging. Children grasp statistics when properly taught. In Berlin, 88% of second graders and 96% of fourth graders solved Bayesian problems using natural frequencies and icons, matching doctors' performance on identical problems presented as conditional probabilities. Risk literacy requires educational reform. Schools emphasize certainty, algebra, geometry, calculus, over statistics and uncertainty. Finland's model succeeds through prestigious teaching, competitive admission, professional autonomy, and intrinsic motivation. Banking needs simple rules. The 3-6-3 model, take deposits at 3%, lend at 6%, golf by 3 p.m., kept banking safe from 1940 to 1970. Regulations exploded from Basel I, 30 pages, to Basel III, 616 pages, yet crises persist. Better approach? Limit leverage to 10 to 1 and ensure those enjoying benefits bear costs during failures. Citizens create change by choosing smaller, responsible banks and only buying products they understand. As John Adams said, liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. The path forward isn't more complexity or paternalism. It's empowering people with statistical thinking, simple rules, and psychological understanding.